This week we've got Tim Samuel with us bringing the word. We're really excited about that. Let's just pray that we receive the word this morning as Tim comes to bring it to us. Lord God, we thank you for your word, that it never returns void. Just help our hearts to be open this morning. We thank you for the word you've put on Tim's heart to share with us. May I just open our hearts and minds to receive what you have to say to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Longjetty. I'm preaching this week. I'm a bit excited, a bit nervous. It's great to be back in the room, not with you all. It'd be great if you were here and excited for when we get to meet together in the room again. This week I'm preaching on Take Off the Armour. Comes from the thought from Brené Brown's Dare to Lead book. Read it last year, and a line from it has really stuck with me, and really, got me a bit obsessed. Just can't stop thinking about it. I want to tell it to everyone. I want to preach it, share it. I want everyone to do it, and I want to keep working on it myself. Just because I read it last year, I definitely haven't perfected it, and I probably never will. But the sentence, "Let your heart exhale," just holds so much power for me, so much weight. I love the idea of full authenticity. That's what I wanted to talk about, taking off our armor and letting our heart exhale. The paragraph that it comes from, a bit of context, Brené Brown says it in reference to teachers in schools and giving school kids a place to take their armour off where they can be safe to let their heart exhale. She later goes on to say that this is applicable to businesses, organisations, places of worship, schools everywhere. You can do this wherever you are. So, yeah, I thought I'd introduce it to our church, and hopefully you guys find it helpful, get on board. So in Dare to Lead, Brené Brown says, "We can't always ask our students to take off the armour at home or even on their way to school, because their emotional and physical safety may require self-protection. But what we can do, and what we are ethically called to do, is create a space in our schools and classrooms where all students can walk in and for that day or that hour take off the crushing weight of their armour, hang it on a rack, and open their hearts to truly being seen. We must be guardians of a space that allows students to breathe and be curious, explore the world, and be who they are without suffocation. They deserve one place where they can rumble with vulnerability and let their hearts exhale." I basically have a one-point sermon. It's pretty simple. Take off the armour. Learn to let your heart exhale. I've got a few scriptures to help illustrate it, and I'll share a few of my own stories along the way. Cool? Cool. Let's begin. I first wanted to look at what armour are we wearing, and do we even need it? The first armour that I think of, obviously, is the one in the Bible, the armour of God. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 17 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Well, first of all, this armor is for outside, not inside. You do not need armor on inside. You don't need armor on in church. Not inside the barracks, not in the sanctuary. Your armor is to protect you from the devil's schemes. But the devil is not in church. Why? One example comes from James chapter 4, 7 to 8. It says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come close to you." So what is a more submitted position than worshipping God? Worshipping God is acknowledging who God is, bowing down and recognizing our need for him. That sounds pretty submitted, hey? Like, if we're bowing down and recognizing who God is, we're submitted to God, we're resisting the devil, so the devil's fleed. So he's not at church. If the armor is to protect us from the devil's schemes, we're at church, the devil's not at church, then we don't need our armor at church. I'll just share a quick story about the idea of being in enemy territory. So it was about 2007, 2008, and I went with a bunch of my school friends, or who were out of school by that point, some guys I'd gone to school with. We went and saw a State of Origin match at ANZ Stadium. This is the very middle of Blues territory. It's an 80,000 seat stadium. Most of them were Blues supporters. I am not a Blues supporter. I am a Queenslander. Go Queensland. It's not a good feeling. Being only one of a handful of Queensland supporters surrounded by like 80,000 Blues supporters. I just wanted to shrink down. I kind of wanted to hide. Even my friends who were Blues supporters kind of felt for their own safety just by association to me being a Queenslander. So now I imagine that feeling of me wanting to shrink down, being in enemy territory, put that on, you know, the devil trying to go up against God. He's going up against the creator of the universe, Almighty God. And God's supporters are not just Blues supporters. God's supporters are cheering, chanting his name, we're singing his praises in church. For me, I don't think the enemy wants to be a part of that. I don't think there's even any room for him to be in here. So it stands to reason that when we come into church, we're not under attack. There's no need for the armor. There's no need for the defense. We're here to connect with God, and we're here to connect with each other. And we can't do that with our armor on. So the beginnings of armor removal, part of taking my armor off at church is a very physical symbol, and a very physical gesture. For me, it's removing my shoes. You can't see it now, but I'm not wearing shoes. I don't wear shoes when I'm at church, especially in the main chapel where we are now. Why? It's not because I want to be rude. It's kind of the opposite. It's because I recognize that where I'm standing is holy ground. Exodus 3:5. You know, Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush in the middle of the desert. And God says, "Do not come any closer. take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. There's nothing special about the physical place where Moses was standing, other than the fact that he was witnessing a bush burning without it being consumed by the fire. That's pretty special. But the actual ground he was standing on was the same, you know, here as it was over there. What made it special was the fact that God was there. God made the ground holy. And I know that God is in this building, so this ground is holy. For Moses, removing his sandals was a symbol and a sign of his unworthiness to be in God's presence. In other words, Moses was acknowledging who God is and who we are in relation to who God is. That sounds a lot like the definition and what James was talking about of being submitted to God. It sounds a lot like worship. Worship is recognizing who God is and praising him for it. So that's my reason for taking my shoes off at church. And that's for me the beginning of my armor removal. That's just my way of acknowledging who God is and that I want to be as close to him as possible. Nothing between us. It's that, for me, it's that first layer of taking my armor off. It begins with my shoes, and then it kind of works up to the rest of my body, into my heart and into my head. So, and that kind of happens, I guess, on a Sunday. That happens through worship and through acknowledging who God is and praising his name and singing. And also the conversations with people, the honest conversations with people. Quick side thought. So God spoke to Moses directly through a burning bush. But God tried to speak to Pharaoh through Moses, and then plagues. What if Pharaoh had been a little more unarmored towards Moses? Could Pharaoh have heard from God too? He would have saved himself going through plague after plague. It's just a thought. Who is God talking through at church this morning? Or who's God trying to talk to you through? Are you listening to God? Are you listening for God? Or is your armor getting in the way? It's just a thought. So once we move from the beginnings of armor removal, then we get to getting naked. Armor fully removed. So we get to the good stuff, no armor at all, Adam and Eve style, naked in the garden. Genesis 3, verses 8 to 11. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I love what happens here, and I can relate to it. I can relate to it hard. It's the beginnings of humans armoring up. It's where we see it first kind of happening. We'll just have a listen to what happens and see if you identify with any of it. Then the man and his wife heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the breeze of the day. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" "I heard your voice in the garden," he replied, "and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God said. Wow, it's powerful stuff, huh? Who told you that you were naked? Something had shifted. Their relationship used to be pure, open, honest, vulnerable, transparent. Now there was armor creeping in. Adam and Eve used trees and leaves to hide themselves. What are you using as your armor? How will you begin the process of getting naked? Metaphorically, of course. Emotional, spiritual vulnerability. That place of emotional risk or uncertainty. Feeling of being exposed with no certainty, no guarantees. That's what taking the armor off is. It's getting vulnerable. Brené Brown talks about vulnerability as emotional risk or exposure, with no guarantees and no certainties of what the response will be. If someone asks you, how are you going? And you answer honestly, there's no guarantees of what their response will be to that. And that's okay. That's what we're talking about here is stop armoring up, take that armor off. What have you got to hide by armoring up? What are you protecting yourself from? I want to encourage you all to kind of take your sandals off and just be in the presence of God. Experience it in its fullness. Kind of a thought or revelation that came to me while I was writing this was, you can only learn trust by trusting. So let's give that a go, hey? Let's start there. I encourage you, leave the armor at the door. Take a few deep breaths. And enter in being all in. So a practical little exercise. I would love to take a few moments to share with you all. And I learned this from Dare to Lead, reading Dare to Lead with Brené Brown, that something that she calls box breathing or tactical breathing. Box breathing was what a yoga instructor had taught her. Tactical breathing was what I think he was a Green Beret, Special Forces guy, had taught her tactical breathing. Turns out they're the exact same thing. So call it what you want. If you want to do box breathing, call it that. If you want to do tactical breathing, do that as well. And it goes like this. Inhale deeply through your nose, expanding your stomach for 4 seconds. Hold that breath for a count of four. Slowly exhale all the air through your mouth, contracting your stomach for 4 seconds. And then hold that empty space for 4 seconds. So I just wanted to do it all. If you want to do it all together, I'll just run through it once more. So we inhale deeply for 4 seconds. Hold that breath for four. Slowly exhale for four. And then hold that empty breath for 4 seconds. I might just do it one more time. This breathing helps us to slow down, gets perspective of the situation. Hopefully it helps us to realize that it's not actually that bad. We will be okay. It might suck, it might get a bit uncomfortable, but we will be okay if we take off the armor and get vulnerable. We will, in fact, be better off. We will end up more connected with deeper relationships. So why? Why do we need to take off our armor? There is really only one question. One question? One answer. One answer to that question Because we are built for relationships. Relationship with God, relationship with people. Love God, love people. That's our mission statement here at Long Jetty. And you cannot have a genuine relationship or a genuine connection while wearing armor. Relationships need trust. And trust needs authenticity. Or perhaps a better way to say it, or to see authenticity, is being seen, truly seen. Just like Adam and Eve were in the garden, an authenticity, or being seen, needs courage. Sometimes courage needs a few deep breaths before it works. I know mine does. I was doing some breathing before I started doing this morning. I need a few deep breaths to take a moment, realize that it's not that bad, I'm going to be okay, I can take off the armor and get vulnerable. But courage also needs a safe place to be practiced. It needs to be surrounded by love and encouragement. This house is that safe place. This house is a place where you can take off your armor, let your heart exhale. You can be seen, truly seen, and still accepted. You will still find belonging. In fact, you will find more belonging the more vulnerable you are. The more authentic self you bring here, the more acceptance you can experience. So I mentioned earlier that this house is like a barracks or a sanctuary. The way I see it is, if we're going to take off our armor, you know, when we're out there, we need our armor on, our spiritual armor. But when we come in here, we don't need it. It's a barracks. It's a place to find rest. It's a place to restore, and it's a place to restock. It's also a sanctuary. It's set apart as holy. This is God's house, and it's set apart as holy. It's not a place that you need to be worried, need to feel worry or fear. It's a place where worry and fear are overcome. Their worry and fear are put in their place in the light of and the love of God. But God's love comes to us directly, from God to us directly, but it also, like Moses, you know, God just spoke straight to Moses through the burning bush. There was just that direct link. But God's love and God's speaking also comes to us through people, like Moses to Pharaoh. God was trying to speak to Pharaoh through Moses, but Pharaoh's armor got in the way. So the people here can also show us God's love. It's a pure space, just us and God. And I really feel like when we come to church, this place should take us back to that Garden of Eden place, that Garden of Eden state of being. And just like Adam and Eve, where they could just walk with God in purity, in openness, honesty, vulnerability, full transparency, full authenticity of who they are. Being seen, being truly seen. We can be kind of, as Adam and Eve, completely naked with God, completely unarmored, completely unashamed. And I want to encourage that, and I want to see that, not just between us and God, but if God's trying to speak to us through other people, then we need to do that and be like that with other people. Unarmored. With authenticity. And once we're back in that unarmored state, that's where we can be refreshed, restored, and rested. You know, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You don't have to be afraid to be vulnerable with Jesus. He is gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. If your soul is trapped behind some armor, you might need to take the armor off so that your soul can find rest. You can let your heart exhale. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd is to feed, to guide, and to shield me. The Lord is my shepherd. He feeds me, he guides me, he shields me. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes and restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. When we're back in church, when we're in that place of the Garden of Eden state, that vulnerable, authentic, unarmored place, we can find true refreshing we'll be back in that place of intimate connection with God through God directly and with his people. God can love us directly and God can love us through people. So once we're in that unarmored state, we can let God love us. We can find rest for our souls. It's a good place to be. One of my favorite things about Longjetty, one of the things I love about Longjetty, is the culture that we have here, and particularly when we ask each other, how are you going? It's often followed up with, but how are you really? This is the stuff that builds and encourages vulnerability and authenticity. I don't want to hear the, yeah, good. How are you really? We're building that vulnerability, that authentic space, a space to be fully open, fully transparent. This is who I am. This is how I'm going. The good, the bad, the ugly, Don't listen to shame and don't hide yourself. I want to encourage everyone this morning to take a breath, take off the armor, and let your heart exhale. Thank you, Longjetty. So this morning we're going to have an opportunity to reflect and respond on what I've said. The song I chose this morning is called Communion, and I just love how it paints the picture of getting back to the Garden of Eden place. The place of intimate relationship with God, and I love the line, no space between us. I just want to invite you to take a moment to listen, pause, reflect, and I invite you to go back to that place. Find a way that you can get back to the Garden of Eden place with you and God. Enjoy. Thank you, church.